All right. Everybody, please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Acts, in the 15th chapter, Acts 15, verses 23 through 41, this morning. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren, send greeting unto the brethren which are the Gentiles in Antioch in Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well, fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they had read, they rejoiced for their, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, give me the strength and the ability to preach which you've laid in my heart this morning. May you be high and lifted up from this message. I pray for those who are listening today and for those who are not listening, that they'll pay attention and hear your word and not what I would have to say, Lord. Bless the remainder of our services in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. The Acts of the First Church, the split between brethren. The title of the message this morning, the Acts of the First Church, the split between brethren. The last time we were in the study of the Acts of the First Church, we examined how the matter of the heresy of circumcision was resolved. Today, we will see what happened in the events that followed. If you remember, in the church of Antioch, when Paul and Barnabas were there, there were certain pretty much converted Pharisees that came out of the church of Jerusalem up there into Antioch and began to preach that they all had to be circumcised. And Paul and Barnabas argued heavily against it. That was heresy. And so on and so forth. And those Gentiles there were so confusing. They managed to do that. They said, well, we need to do something about this. Remember that Paul and Barnabas and a few others from that church were sent back to pretty much the mother church, the church of Jerusalem, to help them stop this horrible fire before it spread even further. And so when they went there, they brought the problem before the church, and they was like, no, we didn't send those people out. And then those former Pharisees who had converted were like, it's necessary, and so on and so forth. And they argued and argued. And finally, remember that Paul and Barnabas and Peter all stood up and pretty much declared the word of the Lord how it was wrong, and it was resolved. And they said, well, let's send some letters back. with Paul and Barnabas and a few other men and telling them by word and by the letter how this is wrong and what they really need to do to help themselves. That will work. And so now we're going to see what happened on the events that followed. My first point this morning is the rejoicing. The rejoicing. Verses 23 through 31. The people of Antioch were so relieved that they weren't going to lose their salvation. Excuse me. I do have cough drops this morning. Thank you so much, Sister Shelley. I had a bag full this morning. I left them all at home. That'd be much good, didn't it? Can you imagine being taught that Jesus is the only way of salvation? And it's offered for the Jew and the Gentile. You're a Gentile. You have the hope of going to heaven. You believe in Jesus and you get saved. Then things are going on so well, and then someone tells you, like, you know, you haven't quite done everything you need to just yet. And if you don't do that, you'll lose your salvation. Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And to say, you've got nothing to worry about. You are secure. Man, that's something to rejoice about, isn't it? We should all rejoice, every one of us that are saved this morning, that we will never, ever lose our salvation. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." John 10, 29. Jesus said that. When you're in the Father's hand, you're never going to get out. Amen. Ever. Ever. You are secure and safe within the Father's hand. And that is something that you can rejoice about this morning, brother and sister. Amen. They were so thankful that they didn't have to do anything else to do to be saved. You know, there's lots of religions that preach and teach that once you get saved, you got to do something to help keep your salvation. Woo! Y'all, I'd be lost so much right now. Man! But praise the Lord! There is only one way to heaven. John 14, 6. Jesus said it himself. When the question was asked, "How do we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way for salvation. And he is also the only one that's going to keep you saved. If you did something to get your salvation, then you got to do something to keep your salvation. And you got to remain lost, brother. But the perfect one came and died and rose again for our sins. Jesus Christ, woohoo, hallelujah. He lives again. We're singing, he lives, he lives. How do we know he lives? He lives within my heart. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by him. There was so much rejoicing. We see here in Acts 15, verse 31, when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Can you just imagine? Oh, man. It was their ignorance, in all seriousness. But in their ignorance, they didn't know any better. They were young babes in Christ. They were living in fear. Oh, my goodness. I could die right now and go to hell. No. But when the word of the Lord was given, that was it. It was it. And brother and sister, that's it today. When God's word is given, that's it. There's no arguing over it. And they rejoiced because of it and because of the consolation. When you know that you're saved beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's consolation. You receive strength and you receive comfort and the security of your salvation. You know, when there's been times in my life where I have doubted my salvation, I have, because I was far enough away from the Lord, that was my problem. But when I would doubt my salvation, I would go back to what David said. Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. If I'm really saved, Lord, I know I've gotten away from you, but Lord, if I'm really saved, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And he did every time. He reminded me of when I got saved. And I went back to that point where I got saved, and I remember what a joy I had in my life at that moment. Just immense joy and peace. As the song says, and the Bible says, it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what these people were doing. But brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, we need to rejoice at our salvation. And I've told you this, and y'all know this, but when you get down in the dumps, you're getting the mullet rubs, you get mad at people, you get mad at the world, remember your salvation. And rejoice. Because you could be lost this morning. The song says, without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. My next point this morning, the revival. The revival, verses 32 through 35. What is a revival? A revival is the bringing back to life, to revive. Something had to be alive first for life to come back to it. They were already saved, but then they experienced revival. They remember that their salvation. They remember the joy of their salvation. They were revived back to life. But after the rejoicing, there was a great need for the people to learn more and get closer to God. And that's what you do in a revival, you know. I know this church in the past has had revival services, and the whole intent was not for lost people, but for saved people. But praise God, if lost people got saved, that's great. That gets people that are saved on fire for God, or it should anyway. I would really love to know who said it first, but I've heard it so many through the years that when a lost person gets saved and a saved person doesn't get excited, your wood's wet. Because you've got no fire. Your wood's too wet. Let me tell you something. When I hear of someone getting saved, I love to rejoice. And it revives my spirit inside of me. But the whole purpose of a revival service is so for the saved people, the church members, to get right with God, to draw closer to God, to have that desire to draw closer to God as a result. Brothers and sisters in Christ today, we need to learn more from God's Word, and we need to get closer to the Lord. James 4 and verse 8. James 4 and verse 8. The Bible declares to us, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The whole point, God never left you. You're still saved. He's still with you. But the closeness of the relationship with God is solely dependent on you and on me. So that's why James said, if you draw nigh to God, you get closer to God. Guess what? He'll get closer to you. But it won't happen until you cleanse yourself and get right and have that desire. I never forget when I was a young Christian. Everything was so fresh and new. I loved it. But then there came a time when that freshness, the newness went away. It did. Then I discovered I had to dig deeper. And then it was fresh and new again. Then that freshness and newness went away. Guess what? I had to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper into what? God's Word. And getting closer to the Lord. I envy people who are new converts, newly saved babes in Christ. What a joyous time in your life. But you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to keep that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want that feeling again this morning, you want that revival in your life, you are the one that's got to draw close to God. You are the one that has to have a desire for God's Word. I love seeing some of our people in our church who talk about they're learning from their Bible studies and what they're learning from their Sunday school and what they're learning from the services. I love to hear that. I'm going to pick on Brad and Sarah's kids just for a minute, okay? I mean, you put it on Facebook, so you shouldn't be too embarrassed by it. So it was a cute story. You know, we've been studying Acts and here, and they missed out on Acts on Wednesday night, and Sarah put on Facebook last night that McKenna and Sadie were playing last night and McKenna said, "I'm Peter." That we're disciples of the first church. Oh, that's great. McKenna said, "And I'm Peter." And Sadie said, "I'm Pumpkin." I love it. This is why Judas, Silas, Paul, and Barnabas continued to help them here at Antioch. Why? Why did they stay? Because these people needed revival. They needed to learn more about God's Word and get grounded in the Word of God. So they greatly accepted it. The people here at Antioch, they greatly accepted all of this teaching from God's Word. Oh, man. Have you ever listened and talked to people from our country, from other countries? We're considered a first world country. We did Christmas with Tiffany's side of the family. It's my family too, but the D priest of the family last Wednesday. And it was amazing how the conversation wound up. They were all talking about phones, and cell phones, and how one wanted to get a new one, the other one got a new one with the latest technology. And Tiffany said, "You hear that? These are first world problems. They really are. You go to third world countries, it's not even an issue for them." But what I find amazing, so when you get people like Bill Cooper, who was here a few months ago, talking about how he would sit and teach and teach and teach and teach on God's Word for hours, and he'd just be exhausted and ready to quit, and they were wanting more. That's what these people at Antioch were doing. They were greatly accepting it. Y'all, that's the problem in our culture. Our attention span is very little. Some of y'all already dozed off this morning as it is. Okay? Your attention spans are gone. But the thing about it is that desire to get closer to God is what we need. And if we will get that desire, man, we will sit and we'll listen and we'll participate and we'll be better off because of it. We need to have that desire to hear, learn, and apply God's Word like these people did. My final point this morning is the rift. You have the rejoicing, the revival, but now you have the rift. Verses 36 through 41. The word rift means a split. A split. You see, brethren, if we're not careful, when we get on fire for God, and all of us are God's people get on fire for God, you better be careful and on guard for the devil. He'll put something in there that will split the brethren if we're not careful. Paul and Barnabas were no different. Paul wanted to go back to the churches that were started under the ministry of Paul and Barnabas and continue to check on them. Remember, when they were coming back to Antioch, they were checking up on those cities they'd been through and all the churches that were started. Now he wanted to go back into the same thing again. This was a great thing to do, as we've already discussed, because these young Christians didn't need to be left alone. Here's a great example. When they came back to Antioch, those young Christians had already had a little heresy sneak in. So, you keep them in check until they're really grounded in God's Word now. And we need to keep this in mind as we deal with missions and our own church. With the work that Brother Joel does in Springdale, that we send him out and endorse him to do that, he does a really good job in that. Oh, and by the way, this is a praise. I forgot to mention this earlier. An anonymous donor donated $1,000 for building and land for the mission this past week. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. But under our guidance for them, we keep them in check, make sure that they are being doctrinally sound and they are getting grounded in God's Word. But guess what? We don't need to neglect our own church either. We need to make sure that we're grounded in God's Word and we stay grounded in God's Word. Barnabas agreed with Paul. Yeah, let's go back and do that again. But he really wanted to take John Mark back with him. Remember, John Mark was the one who left abruptly in their last missionary journey. Now, Barnabas is apparently trying to give him a second chance. And that was in Barnabas' nature. You know, his name means the son of consolation. He's always building up people. That's why he was such a good partner for Paul. Just a great encourager. Yeah, man, don't you worry about all these people who are threatening to kill us. We're doing the right thing. Remember Jesus? Yeah. In his lifetime, he told us that, remember, they hated him first. If they hate him, they're going to hate us. But that's okay. We're doing what's right for God. That was Barnabas. He was a great encourager. He's here to give John Mark a second chance. Paul, however, he didn't agree with Barnabas, and they argued about it heavily. Verse 37 and 38, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Now, we don't know exactly why Barnabas and Paul didn't agree on John Mark going with them, or Paul, excuse me, disagreeing with John Mark going with them. We don't really know why, and we really don't know why John Mark left during the middle of the missionary journey. We can always assume that it was just too much for him to handle. We really don't know. But it probably did have something to do with the fact that Paul had already experienced the fact that John Mark's heart was not in it. That much was evident from the previous lessons. John Mark's heart was not in it in the missionary journey. Now, y'all, I'm here to tell you that pastoring, as I've been saying here lately, is not for sissies. It's not for lazy. And it's not for people whose heart is not in it. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the man who desires the office of a bishop desires a good work. His heart's in it. But y'all, a missionary's life is even harder. Man, it's a hard, hard, hard life. But if your heart's in it, so blessed. You talk to people like Chase and Kelly Reynolds and their boys who were here living in a third world country when they get there to Indonesia, they have to get in a little bitty plane. Kelly takes two of the boys with her. They go on the plane. The plane comes back and gets Brother Chase and the other boy. And then he goes back to this little bitty old island in the middle of the jungle of nowhere, this tribe. And they love it. No electricity, no running water. They fight malaria all the time and the other kind of diseases. But they do it for the glory of God and love it. And that's their home. That's what they consider home. Some of us are going, oh my gosh, how did they do it? They do it because they love the Lord. That's why. Because as Jesus told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Y'all, that needs to be our desire in life. To have the sufficiency and the complacency in the grace of Jesus Christ. John Mark apparently didn't have that. And it's probably why he left in the middle of that last missionary journey. Barnabas's nature wanted to give John Mark another shot. He saw something in John Mark. The young preacher that he was, he's like, Paul, he can do so much good for the Lord. Let's bring him along. However, it was so strong of an argument that Paul couldn't agree with him and they departed company. Barnabas took John Mark and went one way to check on churches. Paul took Silas and went another way to check on churches. Now, y'all, I'm going to be honest. This is a sad story here. This is a very sad story about brethren. This would be like me and Mike Green get into an argument and never can see the eye to eye, and we part ways, never forgive each other. That hurts. And that hurts the church as well. Now, God was able to use his brethren in the midst of their mistake. God can do that. Man can't do that. God can. But I will tell you, though, even though it's a sad story here, there is more to the story at the end of Paul's life that brings about some reconciliation. Reconciliation is coming back in forgiveness. Amen. At the end of Paul's life, he has a little regret. And he writes to Barnabas, pretty much giving him the olive branch for forgiveness. And you know what he says? And when you come to see me, bring John Mark. For he's worthy. See, there was some reconciliation there between those two. But y'all, what a great team those two were. And they allowed something so small, really. So small to split them up. But you know what? In the history of churches, when they split, most of the time it's over something real small. Not every time, but most of the time, a little bitty thing. And there's some people that went to their grave with that grudge. That's sad. That's sad. But how much more blessed could we be if we let the little things go and see who the enemy really is? We've talked about that. Remember who the enemy is. We know who to fight. Not each other, but the devil. And how to fight him. With the full armor of God and with the Word of God. Brethren, we have every right to rejoice and have revival at El Dorado Missionary Baptist Church. But if we're not careful, we'll wind up with a rift if we're not careful. In the midst of all this, I pray in this new and coming year that we'll have rejoicing. Amen. From the souls that will be saved. Amen. And then they'll get baptized and join this church and become disciples of Christ. Amen. That's rejoicing. And I pray that we have revival amongst God's people, that we get on fire for God and on fire here in El Dorado, Arkansas. But what I don't want is a rift. May we remember why we're saved this morning. And if you're lost this morning, you can experience rejoicing in your life if you'll accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's all bow our heads for a word of invitation. Heavenly Father, we come now to you and we thank you so much for Jesus who gave his life for us and lives again, Lord, that we may have eternal life and the hope of heaven and the resurrection. For those who are lost this morning, I pray that they would be absolutely miserable. And if someone who's lost that may think that they're saved, but they're really not, Lord, let them understand that they're lost and that they had made a false profession of faith, that they will make the right decision the one time. That's all it takes to be saved. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for the mic? What shall we sing? Amen.